everybody, welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing fighting monsters. And this week we find out that they don't need to breathe in space, or they do need to breathe in space. I don't know. I give up on this one. It really keeps going back and forth. But I'm Zach, and joining me this week, we've got Simon.
Hey.
And we've got Iris.
Hi, I'm back.
Hooray! We've got Iris back.
I'm also back.
And we've got Simon back. Yay! Yeah, I'm excited to have you back, bud. Mm-hmm. So since it's been a little while, is there anything that you would you've been up to, you want to talk about? Any cool games you've been playing or anything like that?
Me?
Yeah.
I've started playing through Persona 5 Royal recently-ish. I'm up to May.
Okay.
It's still, I've already played through vanilla. I'm still fairly early in the game, so not much different, except that you get to use your guns all the time now, which is nice. I don't know, like, it's been, my life's been crazy, so lately, stuff that I won't get into on the podcast, but, I've been kind of off, but it's good to be back for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you back. Yeah, I'm just curious if you've been playing anything, because I know you do your, like, whatever you feel like, / whatever your spreadsheet dictates, as opposed to what the current game is.
Yes,
so,
my obsessive-compulsive need to go through my backlog in the system to take the FOMO off of my shoulders, yeah. I do that.
Honestly, I don't do that, but since I, like, didn't... As soon as I didn't have enough time to play all the new games, it was weirdly freeing immediately. Like, as soon as I, like, fell far enough behind on new releases, I was like, oh, I can just play the ones I really want to, or I could just play a game from 4 years ago that less money.
That's probably healthy. That's probably the better thing to do. I'm not saying that my lifestyle, gaming wise, is one that should be emulated. I just have a brain that does that. Do not recommend. Avoid my brain, everyone.
Well,
it's mine only.
I think it's mostly pretty fun and interesting. I will say the one thing that you sometimes will mention that is like, you know, do you, but that I am like, oh my God, is like, if something's on your spreadsheet, but you know, it's going to be no longer purchasable. Like when they took down all the like 3DS shop or whatever it was.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I was like, oh no, I didn't even consider that.
Thankfully, still get those.
You can still get those. It's
true.
Surprisingly easy. Or is it anymore? Because Nintendo is going to like fuck you up if you do anything. It's dark times these days on this.
The thing about that Nintendo thing, that, like, if you don't know, Nintendo, which is a company that has a lot of issues like beyond this. Just not recently, but in the past, I don't know, 10 years, has really decided, like, every once in a while, we're going to just pick somebody and fuck up their whole life with a lawsuit.
There was the thing with the Switch emulator recently, just, like, I think this week, like, some Japanese Pokemon hacker got, like, turbo fucked legally, like, they got dragged into court by Nintendo, and, like, their life is over now or something. It's really, like...
And... What kills me about it is, like, A, fuck off. A lot of the times it's for stuff that isn't, like, that they're not even selling because they do their weird Disney Vault shit. And then also, like, dude, you can do that to as many people as you want. People are, it's on the internet. It's too late. Like, it's just, you can't, I don't know. It's such a pointless thing to me.
Like Jeff Gerstmann said it best, like, Nintendo only wants you to have their kind of fun. They don't want you to have any other, like, he was also telling a story about, like, an ex-Nintendo employee who wanted to go on a Nuzlocke stream on Twitch, and Nintendo, had their lawyers, like, just stop him from going on there to do a Nuzlocke. Like, a Nuzlocke is not even a ROM hack, it's just a way of playing Pokemon.
No, it's just they don't like that way of playing the game. Yeah, it's the same reason that they don't sponsor, like, Smash tournaments, because they don't... They're like, no, you're not playing with items. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Which is such a...
That's insane. Like, you can literally turn them off in the game. God damn right.
It. That's also weird. Yeah. Nintendo's weird about that stuff, but whatever. I'm honestly like, I shouldn't give them credit for such low bar, but like, I'm kind of shocked that recently their games have had slightly more that have like let you set controls because they didn't for a while.
Well, I mean, like, when they ported Skyward Sword, I was actually kind of shocked that they let you not use motion controls because like, it felt that was the one game that felt to them like, oh, well, the only reason that this game exists is to have motion controls in it. And if we don't have that, then there's no game or whatever. That feels like a Nintendo brain thing to do. And then they just went, no, it's fine. You can just like use the right stick to do it. And wow, that was like, you've grown Nintendo a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever told this story on the show, but I had to have my wife beat Skyward Sword for me. Because for some reason, it would not register when I did the Skyward Slash, like the hold it up. Like, it wouldn't do it. I sat there for like 10 minutes trying to get it to do it for me. Mm-hmm. And then she was just like, here, just do it. And I was like, well, great. I'm glad it works for you. But yeah, and you couldn't do it. It's not like you could go in and be like, push B or whatever instead.
You have to stick your sword in skywards. That's the name of the game. It says so right there.
Well, cool. Well, that's the Nintendo hour. How is Persona 5 Golden? There's a new character, but they're not a party member, correct?
I mean, I'm early. Like, she's shown up in like three scenes. The second time she shows up, she's in the subway. It's a pretty good scene. Like, cause she's sitting in the subway and you're standing next to her and she gets up to let an old lady sit down. And as soon as she gets up, some man sits down and falls asleep on her seat. And good, like, you have the option of saying something, but I really wanted to just like punch this guy or something. It wouldn't let me. It was kind of a fun scene.
I did see someone saying that for as many problems as those games have, with like, sexuality and gender and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Persona 5 actually weirdly does have an like a sub theme of men suck. Like specifically.
Yeah, well, I mean the whole first arc with the PE teacher, right?
Yeah, and the guy, the main, like the reason that you get sent in trouble is like, yeah, all that stuff is kind of tied, which is interesting. But well, cool. Iris,
and then for some reason you get a party member soon after that who's like who tries to get the main who tries to get Anne to like strip naked for a painting.
Yeah, well, Morgana is a problem. A joke.
Yeah. No, that's Yusuke. Yeah, it's like it's a joke. Wait, and Yusuke is ace like textually, so it's like
that's right.
He wants it just for the art, but she puts on like 7 layers of clothing because she doesn't want to get naked. It's like a weird.
So I'm not going to give Atlas any credit whatsoever.
I wasn't trying to give them credit. It's just something I saw somebody point out that I thought was interesting. But yeah, that game is weird as hell about like Anne specifically, which is weird.
Because like she's not like the fake shadow bimbo Anne in Kamoshida's palace is like a bikini girl and like Anne is really upset at this, but then like she gets her persona out and her outfit is like a leather cat suit with a big boob window, and then she gets upset that the guys are like, oh, you're sexy, and it's like it's a weird vibe anyway.
Well, Iris, what have you been up to?
Primarily Dragon's Dogma 2.
How are you liking it?
A lot of Dragon's Dogma. It is. Have you played Dragon's Dogma 1?
A little bit.
It is simply more of that.
I think that's what people wanted, right? So.
Yeah, and like, it is nice to have more of that, and like they included a few new like vocations as well, and like rebalanced some old ones, and that's cool. But like it would have been nice if they improved literally anything.
Oh no. So they didn't really.
The pawns are still like really dumb as hell, and not in the ways that pawns are dumb and charming. Like,
right.
Cause I like it when pawns are dumb in the way that they will say things, that are silly. Like, in my first hour of playing the game, I summoned one of my friend's pawns. And the very first thing she said, like, as soon as I exit the rift, she's like, "Arisen, I see a ladder." And my own pawn says, "We'll be sure to make use of it." And for some reason, the specific delivery of that those two lines in quick succession made me lose my fucking mind. And I laughed for like a solid minute straight.
Yeah.
However, the more I play the game, the more frustrated I get by how dumb the pawns are, because the pathfinding in the game is just atrocious. Pawns will just like randomly stop attacking things for reasons I can't figure out. And will just act like it's like their AI routines will get stuck sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Quest lines are still obtuse in a way that is more irritating than it is like, it's fine if you want your quest to feel like you are the player is figuring things out and going on an adventure. Yeah. But also a lot of times it will be like, I don't know what you want from me here.
Right. Yeah.
And also like quest givers can die or something. I've heard a lot of that complaint.
That can happen, probably. It hasn't happened to me specifically, but I can see how that could happen for some quest givers.
Yeah.
Like NPC hostility and what triggers that can be sort of weird and opaque. But like, I'm still having a pretty good time, but Dragon's Dogma, while a really fun game, had issues, and they have done absolutely nothing to fix any of that for Dragon's Dogma 2. For both better and worse, it is just Dragon's Dogma 1, but with a 2 on it and some slightly remixed content.
Like, a lot of what you were describing, like NPCs like hostiling for reasons you don't quite understand, or you being able to kill quest givers by accident, which Simon said. This is reminding me of like the first one or two like Dark Souls games, which those things are like sort of still present, but they kind of ironed them out. Like, and so this sort of sounds like, you know, it's been a very long time since the first Dragon's Dogma game, but they didn't like, whereas with Dark Souls 2, I think by the second one, there were ways to like un-aggro, like friendly characters.
Yeah.
It sounds like they just haven't taken any of those changes.
Player trust in a weird way, because like, you know, when the From Software game is being mean to you, you kind of trust that the game knows what it's doing and that it, you know, there's a purpose behind it. But like I haven't played Dragon's Dogma, but the feeling I get from Far Away is that it's the same type of game that, you know, a Bethesda game is or something, where it kind of just feels broken sometimes because it's in the genre where it's like too ambitious and it just like they couldn't iron out everything and it has bugs in it and you just have to deal with it. It's like it's a whole different vibe.
Yeah, the vibe with Dragon's Dogma, both 1 and 2, is that like there are a lot of parts of it where I'm not sure if this is intentional or if it's just breaking in a way that is like, well, this is just bad in some ways. But yeah, like it very much feels less like a sequel and more like a glorified expansion pack.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But you know, coming out like a lot later, so it's interesting. I'm glad people, because I feel like when that game came out, like nobody. I mean, there were people who were very vocal in loving it, but it was not like a huge hit, I don't think. So it's cool that they made a second one, because I know it's kind of gained a following.
Yeah.
But and like, it sucks they haven't fixed some of that stuff.
Yeah. And like, I'm still having a good time. But like, that's kind of because I also had a good time with Dragon's Dogma, like even before it got the Dark Arisen, sort of remaster.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's right. So I was like, I thought it, I was thinking, wait, it did get an expansion, but that wasn't really, right? It was basically a remake.
Yeah, or it wasn't like really an expansion. Yeah. Like, I think they added some, gosh, I can't remember exactly what they added in Dark Arisen, but, you know, they did add a few things. They added, like, I think they added more, like, port crystals you could put around the map to fast travel to different areas. I think they might have added some more endgame content. But yeah, it wasn't, it was like a small content expansion and sort of like, remaster kind of thing. But yeah, like if you tried Dragon's Dogma 1, and were like, you know, this has potential, but it's a little frustrating. Any thoughts you had about Dragon's Dogma 1 will probably apply almost exactly to Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yeah. And I know if you haven't been following, there's a bunch of it got a bunch of bad will when it first came out because there's a bunch of microtransactions where you can just buy items with money, and it's not that kind of game.
I mean, Capcom just fucking slaps that on everything. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. From what I understand, it doesn't affect the game at all, but, like, that sucks still.
Yeah,
I love the Tales RPGs.
Yeah, they all do that too, yeah.
They all will, like, let you pay money for levels, which is insane
It's become this weird normalized thing in the Japanese AAA space where I don't think I've seen like Square Enix games do that, but like everyone else, like Tales and Trails does that too, and Capcom does that, and like it hit Dragon's Dogma, which is still a Japanese AAA game from a AAA developer, but it looks like a Western RPG, so when you have that shit on top of it, it makes you think of Western monetization schemes, so it sits in a weird space. I don't know.
Yeah, I can tell you, like, you know, just like Dragons, you know, that shit is not necessary at all. Mm-hmm. Like, Dragon's Dogma 2, the game was not developed with the
marketing.
It is not a gotcha game in the sense that like it is crafted with the intent that it will try and make you. Try and incentivize you to buy those things. It was not developed with that in mind. It has, you know, the pretty much exact same progression system as Dragon's Dogma 1, like where, you know, you get items and experience and gold exactly like you would in a game that does not have any microtransactions at all. So that shit was clearly purely just added on post hoc, because Capcom does that now as an organization.
Yep. Well, weird, but I'm glad you're enjoying it, even though it's still got some issues, but that's cool.
It is still a solid 7 out of 10 game to me that I would like a lot more if the pawns were slightly smarter.
Yeah.
So that they were slightly better at being actual combat companions.
That's definitely, like, I feel like these are not exactly the same kind of games, but, like, I played the Final Fantasy 16. Mm-hmm. Is that the newest one?
Yes.
If you don't count 7 Rebirth, yeah.
I got really, that was the same feeling where I'm like, I have party members, but they don't fucking do anything, and they won't attack the people I want to. And I feel like 14 was the same way, the Carboys one. 15. Where I just cannot get them to do...
That was 15.
Sorry,
14 is 14. The MMO.
Yeah,
that's right. Sorry.
where the other party members really don't matter.
Right. Well, I guess they don't because they're
NPCs, other players,
right?
Or, there's trusts also.
Well, they in the last two expansions, they did add the option to go through the story dungeons with, like, the actual story NPCs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's good that they do this. That's always felt
weird to me. Yeah. That it's like, because people will talk about, like which characters they like in Final Fantasy 14. And I've always been a little confused because I was like, but isn't it like Steve is the other guy that you're playing with?
I mean, even MMOs have narratives with like characters that have things happen to them.
I guess so. Honestly haven't played one really since World of Warcraft, which I guess technically that's true in that game.
Yeah, but it also has that, even though it's not as big of an emphasis.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, I did also play Slay the Princess finally.
What is that? What is that game?
Slay the Princess is a visual novel with art by Abby Howard.
The art looks cool as hell.
Yes. It is a horror romance novel.
Okay.
Essentially. I do not want to say too much about it. Yeah,
I know there's like people don't want to kind of spoil the thing.
Because it does some wild shit. However, if you are worried about it being like too dark, because that was my initial concern.
That's sort of why I haven't checked it out.
Yeah, like you can theoretically go that route, I would imagine. I didn't attempt it, but like the game assures you at the start of it is remember this is a romance.
Okay. So it's not like a, because that's, I was sort of, I knew the idea is that it like subverts some romance tropes. And with some horror elements, and I was a little worried that meant it was just going to be like super gory or nasty. But
yeah, no, it is not like it is gory, absolutely, sure. And it is dark, but it is also hopeful if you want it to be. I personally received an ending that I was very happy with. I really liked the ending that I got.
I'll have to check that out then. It looks great, like visually. It looks fantastic.
I highly recommend Slay the Princess. It only took me like 90 minutes to finish it.
Cool.
Really cool game.
That sounds neat. Well, I also played a video game that is weirdly like 18 months or 2 years old, I think. And I keep trying to talk to people about it, but everybody I know who wants to play it already did. So I'm going to make y'all listen to me talk about it briefly, which is I played Hi-Fi Rush, was an Xbox exclusive when it came out and recently got released on PlayStation and I think PC, though I'm not 100% sure about that. If you have not played that game or heard about it, You play as, oh no, there's a name for this. Iris, what's a Goku called? What's the name for that type of character?
A protagonist.
A shonen protagonist?
Shonen, thank you. Shonen protagonist. That's basically, you play a guy in that mold, except his obsession instead of fighting is music.
Yeah, he has one special interest. He's kind of a doofus, but he has a heart of gold. It's just one of those.
Yep. That's why I said a Goku. That's basically the deal. And it's a... what is the genre that we call Devil May Cry games?
Character
action games. Yeah. Okay, so it's a character action game... that I would call like a Devil May Cry Light, except that it's also a rhythm game. So you need to push the buttons in time with the music. Now it's giving you a pretty steady beat. And also there is a visual indicator you can turn on. So it's not like that complex but the light attack is one beat and the heavy attacks are two beats. So if you just spam the buttons, you like won't get the best use out of your attacks. And it feels really good to fight, especially like when you get into a good flow state, kind of like how it feels good in, you know, Rock Band or whatever when you're really nailing it. It has a cel-shady art style. The It also has like fully animated cutscenes in for a like a fair number of them that are really gorgeous.
Yeah.
It looks really, really good. And it's got a really cute story. It's very like The Power of Friendship, like shonen-y style, but I really, really liked it. I beat it and I'm playing through it again on like New Game Plus on a harder mode, and I'm really, really enjoying it. It's I don't know, it's like a really feel-good game. Oh, I will say I did not like struggle, but I played it on hard for like the first third of it, and then I had to turn it down to normal because I was just like, I guess my rhythm is just like off, because I just can't quite get this. And then my my wife, I think I mentioned, has been sleeping on the couch for a couple of nights because of her back. And I wanted to keep playing, so I plugged headphones into the controller, the PlayStation controller, and immediately was nailing every single button and realized that my TV has lagged. I had audio delay, and I played the entire game with like not a crazy delay because I was getting it enough.
That's why you always gotta calibrate. You gotta calibrate. Gotta.
Yeah. Yeah, I fucked up.
Your HDMIs must have been too long. That's
yeah, my HDMI was too long.
Yep.
I think it's actually because I have a an external like sound system, and it's not coming straight out of the TV. But I just mostly felt stupid that I played through the whole game. and then, like, so now I'm just playing it with nice headphones, and it's great. But whoops.
I like character action games, but I'm usually kind of bad at them. So I played the game with like combo assist on.
Oh yeah, it has a lot of good assists and like what is the word that they use for that type of stuff?
Accessibility.
Yeah. Yes, accessibility options. They have like there are like basically you know, their version of active time events where, you know, you have to suddenly like push stuff at a specific, very specific timings. And there's an option to just like, if you get the first one and then hold the button, it'll just do the rest of them. Like there's a bunch of good options in there if you struggle with that stuff. So that's cool. You liked it, Iris, when you played it?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. I really, really enjoyed it.
It's got good. It's got really good character designs.
Yeah, I love the characters.
Peppermint is my girl. She rules.
I love that they put in like last minute Yuri.
They sure did at the like really right under right the wire.
Right at the finish line.
I also, you have a little cat robot, and his name is 808, which is the name of a kind of speaker, and I just really love him. He's my good friend. So yeah, it's a fun game. Been enjoying it. With that, let's talk about Power Rangers Journey. Yes.
Journey's End Part 2.
Journey's End Part 2. And this episode ends with, so in the last episode, let's go from talking about a feel-good music video game to the fact that, yes, Trakina is using suicide bombers in this episode.
Yeah. This whole episode is all about suicide bombing because it happens over and over again.
Yeah, Trakina is on a, like, fucking war crime speed run over here.
Yes.
So, like it's not just that she uses some suicide bombers. Every Stingwinger, every Stingwinger is stated to explode over the course of the first half of this episode.
Yup.
She just blows them, every single one of them up.
And like, I know that they're bugs, like textually, they don't seem to be able to speak really. She tells them what to do and they just do it. Like, and I know Power Rangers has never been shy about murdering the monsters, but like, It's weird. Yeah. And I also know this is before 9/11 and all, but like it's
but still, like, they make it a point, like, because this whole plan is what breaks Villamax. Like, he goes, no, right. This is too far.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's not, it would almost be different if, like, the show didn't really acknowledge it, mm-hmm. but Villamax is like, hey, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, even yeah. if the even if these guys are basically like bugs or something, if you saw a guy who was like strapping bombs to a bunch of ants, you yeah. would not yeah. think like, oh, that's a very normal thing to do. The ants yeah. don't matter. You'd be like, hey, that's okay,
weird.
That's a fucking Incredibles villain plan right there.
Yeah,
yeah, totally.
You would want to avoid that guy as much as possible.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you would be like, I'm going to go to the other side of the street, actually.
I keep forgetting that the intro to this show just has the Red Ranger tearing off his shirt. Yeah. I keep forgetting that's a thing in the opening sequence.
You only get it two more times before it's gone forever. Enjoy it.
I always forget it. And then I'm like...
Yeah, Iris, he was an underwear model, so they want to make sure that he gets all that as much as possible to show that off.
That
so.
Makes
they
sense.
They knew how good that shot was, and they milked everything they could out of it.
Yeah, and he does go shirtless, like, not all the time, uh-huh. but more than most of the other Red Rangers, I feel like, have gone shirtless. And they're mostly in pretty fucking good shape, so... But yeah, so that aside, like, I will say that I said it last episode, and I still feel like this is pretty much the case. They're doing a lot with what they have, like, mm-hmm. with the resources they have. You watch the them like swarm the two. I always forget their names, but it's mm-hmm. the red and blue, like the Megazords that pilot themselves, mm-hmm. that they don't have to pilot. You watch them swarm them and start to blow themselves up. You and see
like they turn the way they show this in wider shots is they kind of have nets with little like bug things on them, like covering the Megazord suits. It's like kind of clever. It doesn't look real or anything, but it's a pretty cool effect, I think.
It's pretty clever. Yeah. And also the Megazords are standing outside the dome mm-hmm. of TerraVenture on the moon. So like, it's a lot of sets. There's they're compositing models. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cool. I think they're doing a pretty good job. And you see them like try to fight the swarms off, but you know, it's like trying to fight a bunch of bees that can explode themselves. Yeah. It just doesn't really work. Like,
The evacuation scenes look pretty solid too, honestly.
Yeah. But it's just like they also show this thing where it was like stick themselves to buildings in TerraVenture and blow them up. And they play like six different clips of buildings exploding in a row. Like these explosions look nasty, and it's gonna be really weird over the course of the episode to see like the power of the explosions of those Stingwinger suicide bombs. Like, it's all over the place. You can never know how much damage it's going to do.
Totally. So I will say I did check Ranger Wiki and I believe this is correct. The part one didn't have any Sentai footage, which I'm pretty sure is true. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like it did. And then part two, this episode only has that explosion. Those explosions are from Sentai.
And it's but stock like, shots that we've seen before. It's not even new shit.
Yes. Yeah. So there, that is very funny, though. We've talked about that throughout this, where it's like, how many buildings are on TerraVenture? I guess they got extras.
I mean, this is it. Like, they imply that TerraVenture gets completely critically destroyed in this episode. So, yeah.
Yeah, so they fly through one of the tubes because all the extra domes are gone. So which means one of the tubes is just open, and they fly in and blow themselves up on these buildings and blow a bunch of the buildings up. And then Then we have, yeah, evacuation, during which we see Bulk and Phenomenus. Remember those guys?
Yeah.
they're still here, technically. And
it's,
yeah, the
also,
Rangers.
Also, like, I just want to point out, Bulk is in the opening credits in this episode, which you haven't seen him yet. And it's like a Bulk jump scare. It's like, what is he doing there?
Yeah. But, well, Bulk is like, I think there's one episode where they show that he's like running a bar.
Yeah.
But like that's it. Like, it's not like they go, it's not like he's running Ernie's. Like, yeah.
But it's just
never
like,
see him.
I really like the thought that like Paul Schreier showed up for like three episodes this season, and he has it in his writer, in his contract or something, that if I show up, I'm in the opening credits because I'm a main cast member, even though like he ranks well below an extra in his appearance in this.
Yeah, he's barely in it. Mm-hmm. But that said, I do think, like Iris said, the evacuation stuff is pretty cool. You've got a bunch of civilians. You've got the GSA, like, troops, your Starship Trooper guys. And then you've got the Rangers fighting off, like, mm-hmm. all these groups of Stingwingers. Sorry, I said Starship Troopers, and then I was like, oh, yeah, I'm also playing Helldivers,
which
is also kind of a Starship Troopers.
Yeah, so extremely.
So we got a bunch of Starship Troopers going on. But, yeah.
This Power Rangers Lost Galaxy is the actual apolitical Starship Troopers.
Yeah. It's so funny to me that there were people who were mad at Helldivers for getting woke.
Yeah,
I don't want to get off on like a super tangent, but like, yeah. That if you haven't played Helldivers, it is a game that is like capitalism leads to fascism explicitly. Uh-huh. These are bad things. And then it does that with like satire, but that is what it is talking about. And then people got mad because, like, on the forums, they banned people for being, like, right-wing, you know, nut jobs. And then they're like, I can't believe this game that's about how fascism is bad is woke.
It's the same people that, like, less than 20 years ago, like, didn't realize that Colbert Report was satire. It's always the same shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there are people are bad at reading media, but in that game, when you spawn a new guy, they're like, oorah, and then the second they get attacked, they're like screaming and shrieking. Like, it's really obvious what's happening in that game.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Stingwinger fights are interesting because, like, you pretty quickly, at first, I was like, oh, they're not using the bombs, though. But then they do.
They
start blowing themselves up.
Their strategy is to, like, clump up two or three of them on a single Ranger, then pull the pin on their suicide bombs and blow up, which just, like, kind of does a firecracker thing and kind of tosses the Rangers around. And that's it. That's all it does.
It's one of those things where it's like, well, they're super powered, so I guess that's like why they don't just die. But like four of them blow up Leo, and he got punched really hard.
And like,
is basically
Kai literally pulls the pin off of one and tosses him aside, like to show just underline how little he cares about these explosions, and it still sends him flying. It's just considering right before the opening we saw them like completely explode buildings with these. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, there's some good stunts with that stuff. There's a little bit of like, Kai uses one to like, he throws a guy who's, he pulled the pin of it at other guys.
Yep.
Then we see Villamax, you know, saying like, oh, she's destroying her own army. Now
we get the most melodramatic 5 minutes in the history of Power Rangers
there. It's very melodramatic. I have to say, I have to remind everybody because honestly, Villamax, like Trakeena, my complaint has been that she's not been in that the season as much as I would like. Philomax honestly hasn't had like done anything since his introduction, which was seriously like 25 episodes ago.
And, like, he barely counted as a villain back then because like Trakina was like exiled from her empire or something by I forgot his name already, Deviat, and she was like off in the space saloon, and like Villamax was there, and they just like kind of met up, and he trained her and like helped her get over her depression, and they became friends. And it's like, it's not clear if at any point during that he knew that she was a villain. He just like kind of stuck around.
His name is Villamax, yeah. But also that doesn't. I mean, Treacheron was very loyal, yeah. So I don't know if necessarily it means he's a villain, but. But yeah, so like he trained Trakina and like theoretically taught her his like at least slightly noble code. So mm-hmm. He's upset. But what I'll say is like, I feel like if you're a kid, there's no way you remember that that happened. Like, what I mean? Like, the idea that you would be like, well, this guy could theoretically become a good guy, I feel like you just wouldn't remember as a little kid. And so he is, you know, looking and being like, oh, we shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. And then this little girl almost gets crushed by some falling debris. Yep. And he runs over and protects her. By, you know, like just standing over her so that the big foam rocks bounce off of him. Mm-hmm. And she's the little girl who is, you know, not prejudiced because he looks like a monster. No. Is just like, hello, sir. Can you help me find my mom?
She's also confused as to whether he's even a villain or not. So,
right. Yeah. Which is pretty cute. Mm-hmm. And, he's like, your mom? And then he doesn't do anything really, but her mom runs over and she is prejudiced. Yep. And it's immediately like oh, no,
dude, you're a monster. You're the one blowing up these buildings.
Now, to her credit, she does not say, like, get away from him. No. She sort of just grabs the little girl. But the little girl also gives him a little flower.
She just, like, a little flower just... bouquet materializes in her hands. That says she goes, thank you, sir. You're the nicest man ever. No, no, no. And she gives them to Villamax. Just like it's really
pretty
silly.
Cute.
Yeah.
Now I will also say that I know we've already talked about it because there's that episode with the bee monster who turns out to be nice. Mm-hmm. But it's worth pointing out that because this basically turns Villamax into a good guy. If that's all it takes, the Power Rangers got to try harder. Like,
the Power Rangers need to put more children in danger, is what you're saying.
Well, that's not what I meant. They could try giving flowers to all the monsters they fight before they kill them.
They could give the monsters a Pepsi and see what happens from there.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah, exactly. That just really stuck out to me of like, I'm not even saying it's like bad, but I was thinking like, I was trying to remember similar beats to this from other like kids shows mm-hmm. that I watched, and I was kind of having trouble pulling too many, but like, I remember like Dinobot in Beast Wars, like basically becomes a good guy like right away, and then he gets turned evil later. So then when he is like redeemed, you're like, oh well, but at least he was a good guy for like a while.
Yeah.
Like that works to me. But this it's like
it's not over, literally fast. 2 minutes. Yeah. Usually it's like an arc. It's Piccolo trains Gohan and becomes a good guy. Or, like, say, Crosshair helps Omega on the Bad Batch. That's the more recent example.
True. Piccolo is also pretty quick, though he's still, like, it's mostly because, like, well, we'll all die if we don't work together, mm-hmm. I guess. But he does then, you know, continue to hang out with them and be a buddy. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't even like hate it. It's a show for a little kid. I just was like,
oh, it's very funny. I love it.
Yeah, it's it. Yeah, the whole heel turn lasts like 2 seconds, and then he fucking dies.
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah, that's the other thing, is it's a very Darth Vader, like, I've redeemed myself. Yep. And it's like, did you though, really?
It gets even stupider, like, next time we see him, like, anyway, we'll get to it.
Yeah. Wait, what? Okay.
No, next time in this episode, I mean, not, yeah.
Oh, okay. In a few minutes. Wait, hold on, what's happening in the third episode?
No,
he's hella dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the end of this episode. But yeah, so... So the mom and the little girl run away. We cut back to Trakina watching her Stingwingers murder the Megazords. I'm gonna need to take a screenshot of where she says "more, cover every inch of them" while looking all evil and hot,
and then put it in a folder that is several levels deep on your hard drive.
Six hidden folders. Yeah. The Rangers are still getting beaten up, and then the Megazords blow up.
Yep.
And
gotta get rid of them. It's the end of the season.
Yeah. So first Alpha warns them, but they don't really... They basically make the call of like, well, we have to help the people who are here. We can't really go save them. Sorry, robots that at least have like some artificial intelligence and might also be alive.
These aren't the Galacta Beasts, so they're not at least living organisms. But also, like, granted, there's, like, a whole lot more Stingwingers on them. They're covered in them, like, in a net of them. But, yeah, now their explosions are strong enough to destroy Megazords, which are, you know, super-powered giant robots, even stronger than buildings, supposedly. But, anyway.
They blow up. It's pretty dramatic. There's a bunch of pieces laying on the ground. They sort of act like... The Rangers kind of act like they don't have another Megazord, like, which is, Leo's like, oh no, she's destroyed the Megazords, and I mean, they've got another one, but
yeah, it will. If I'm correct, it'll show up in this episode, right? Or do they have both a ship and a Megazord?
No, the Megazord was the in-space Megazord. They have different Megazord. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Iris, I'm actually glad you said something, because I don't know that we've talked about that. That ship was the Power Rangers in-space Megazord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they never
turned
it
into a Megazord in this show.
That's
not even in the finale. And
so
I don't
weird. Really
know why. Like... I don't, maybe we did talk about it. I don't know if like the in-space Rangers like have to be on it to turn it into the Megazord for some reason.
It's a different Sentai. I didn't even think of going back to getting that footage is the thing.
Right. Yeah, of course. So yeah, they also have a spaceship and another Megazord, but two of their Megazords are dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not great. Granted, they kind of, they're like, oh, Trakina may have destroyed the Megazords, but she's not getting Terra Venture. And that's Leo's cue to start dual wielding like a real cool guy, which he has not done, I don't think, up to this point. The other Rangers like keep fighting. They're good fights. It's just, there's not that much going on. I do like that one thing that's kind of funny to me is that Kai and Damon go like, oh, we better tag team them. And I was like, oh, they're going to do like a cool special move. They just shoot their guns at the same time, which I guess is a special move, technically.
That's tag teaming.
Yeah.
Also, I guess the Stingwingers in this scene are... all the Stingwingers that are left, period, and every single one of them blows up because they're done after this. Curtains for Stingwingers.
Yeah. Real quick, Iris, I can't remember if you've been on an episode where we talked about this. Do you know what the daggers that they have are called?
No.
Okay, they're called the Trans Daggers.
Yeah.
So that's just a thing you should know.
Is that what they're going to use? Is that how my SRS surgery is going to go?
Yeah,
they're going to be
real careful with those things.
It's a big, dull plastic thing. Yep, that's how they do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why they're called that. They don't really ever explain it.
For transformation, they can, of course it is.
Yeah, I guess that's true, because they can turn into other weapons,
Okay. But
they never really do it. I think that's more of a Sentai thing. But yeah, so Leo is wielding the sword and the trans dagger. So we fight off all these stingwingers. There's a pretty good shot of Leo like cutting through a whole bunch of them, mm-hmm. and then they all blow up. We are then told like that's all.
Yep, that's
all
it.
The stingwingers. They're done. There's no more.
And then like there's another shot of the sky cracking like last episode, and we're like they restate. It's really important that we get everyone off of TerraVenture right now. I just want to underline this right now because it's bad if they're in space out there.
I would have assumed, considering like the crack is not just like a fracture. Mm-hmm. There are pieces falling off.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would assume that if you are in the vacuum of space,
it's already
game
over. Your
dome has lost a huge chunk of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be too late.
Yeah.
Yes.
You would think that.
They should already be evacuated.
Yeah. I'm trying to be nice, but I don't like if
it's so okay, anger like,
at the end of this
makes me so
at
angry.
The end of this episode, spoilers, Leo is just on the moon, just hanging out, like not morph. He's fine. So if the problem is not that they like, maybe there's another reason that this is bad that they just aren't stating that I can't think of. I don't know.
Maybe they're worried about the dome itself falling down on
people.
Crushing
people on them.
Yeah. I mean, that's, we did sort of postulate that last episode, but that's like so horrifying, like that I can't really think that's what they mean.
Like, torn asunder by falling pieces of sharp glass.
Yeah. And like asphyxiation in outer space is also horrifying, but in a slightly more abstract way than like being shredded by falling glass.
I genuinely wonder if they were just like, listen, kids have watched spaceship shows. Mm-hmm. They know it's bad to be in space, but they don't really know why it's bad to be in space. So we'll just say it's bad, and then it's fine. We don't need to worry about it. Like, I don't know. It's just weird. It's just like, again, it's a show for children. I wouldn't care except for, like, honestly, one of the only fucking constants in Power Rangers is that you can breathe in space. Like, that never changes. So, it's just weird. Like, fucking Rita Repulsa. I mean, I know she's an alien, but the first episode, she's like, what's up? I'm on the moon. It's fine.
Yeah, like, she just comes out of her jar, and, like, she's just, she's just out there on the moon.
All these stingwingers are dead. They're like, oh no, the dome won't hold up much longer. Let's speed up the evacuation. We see a bunch of, as we stated last week, their shuttles are basically just the space shuttle.
And they have like 20
of them.
Yeah, they have a lot of
them. Have a whole fleet of space shuttles.
Yes.
The future we could have had.
Oh, I know.
If only we never stop building more shuttles.
Yeah. the Trevino's shuttle like,
we should have spent less
I've done
money
it. Now,
on freeways and more money
now,
on space shuttles.
Send my army into the city and
this is the weirdest civilization game. It's just shuttles all over.
Yes. You know, and she's like, now I will say, he goes like, you don't have an army. And then she goes, I don't need an army. And I'm like, okay, but you did just say send my army. Hey, so he can't do that because you don't have one.
Might you mayhaps be losing it, girl, when you say shit like this?
Yeah. She's, I mean, they're obviously trying to say like she's gone crazy with evil power or whatever, but it's just funny that she immediately forgets what she told him to do. We see all the shuttles.
We see Bulk rushing for one.
Yes. Now,
yeah, there's this whole weird scene where they really want us to know that, like, the evacuees aren't allowed to bring anything with them because space is at a premium. This is
what I was going to say, is Iris and I just had to fly, and I did get, like, flashbacks of, like, trying to fit my overhead thing under the seat in front of me. Mm-hmm. But they're, like, there's a PA announcement that's, like, mm-hmm. you can't bring anything with you. Mm-hmm. And I understand that they're going to pack everybody in as tightly as possible.
This is, you know, to be fair, this is what happens when a city is being evacuated because it's about to be bombed or something. They just say, hey, get on the train. Don't bring anything.
Right. Totally. Now, that said, this lady shows up and Kai is helping people board. This lady is like, but please, it's just this picture of me and my family.
And she's like, and she has like a whole frame, like maybe like, you know, take it out of the frame and fold it. That's
roll
fine.
It up. Yeah. 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 But like it is like, I understand if they're like, you cannot fucking bring on a like suitcase. Yeah. But like they're making people drop like purses. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, if you can hold it under your clothes, like then it's fine.
It's like no, toss the sandwich. Don't bring any like food with you.
Yeah, right. That said, everyone else on the shuttle who followed instructions will be staring at you the whole time.
It's like, oh, yes. Someone gets to remember her parents in a nice frame, huh?
yeah.
Must be nice to have a Power Ranger for a buddy.
Right. It is also funny that they sort of play it like Kai. Oh, isn't he so sweet? And I'm like, I guess, but like, it's also stupid to make her leave the picture. It doesn't take space.
And there's also like a dozen people walking by behind him while he's like staring at that picture, who presumably left every single memento of their loved ones behind.
Oh, I thought you were saying they just are all sneaking bags past him while he's not looking.
They're all like, they all have like bags of cocaine taped to their bodies. They're running by.
Yeah. So then we cut from there to a scene where, and I want to be very clear, I'm not trying to make light of any like losing your life in any way. Mm-hmm. The way this scene is shot, I was like, oh, Commander Stanton's gonna die on this spaceship. He's not leaving. It's just something about the way it's like the lights are all off except for like emergency lighting. Mm-hmm. He's standing alone on the like command deck while sparks go off.
Yeah, they were trying to shoot this like the captain of the Titanic, like in his last moments in this cabin.
They're very much pulling on like classic imagery of the captain going down with the ship.
Yep.
Right. And like no one had even spoken. And I was like, oh, I guess Commander Stanton's going to die in this
He's
episode.
He's about to just pull out a pistol and shoot himself in the head on Power Rangers.
I mean, that's like I like, because that's not a joke, but like that's what it looks like. It's so darkly shot. Like it looks like a Battlestar Galactica episode for a second. Mike comes in and I thought he was going to have to, again, even still, I'm like, he's going to have to talk him out of staying, like going down with the ship. But then he's, go ahead.
He's just having like one last mournful look at the ruins of his dream and going like, well, guess it's time to evacuate the shuttle. And he just turns around and walks off.
Yes, and then he might as well like dust his hands off and go like, well, shuttle time anyway, let's go. Like, yeah. It,
His dream was finding a new Earth, and he did that.
Right,
he succeeded. Like the dream wasn't, I hope we stay on this colony forever.
They crashed on the moon of a perfectly livable planet. They got 99.999% of the way there, so yeah, it's fine.
You just need to make a quick rush to the touchdown line.
Yep.
You know, you're good.
I will say, this bit does give some, because we've been very confused, I feel like, and not through our fault, mm-hmm. but because the show just didn't state it, of what the goal was, other than very vague terms. Mm-hmm. Stanton says this was going to be the city,
uh-huh.
On the new planet.
Yep.
So I guess the idea was to land this.
Yeah.
And then use this city.
Yeah. So they would detach the bottom part of it.
Right.
And city would just land. Okay. I can see that then, if you would be sad, damn, we're going to have to start from scratch now.
Right. Instead, we got to build,
we have to rebuild civilization.
Thatched roof cottages.
We're going to have to cannibalize our entire fleet of space shuttles to do this now.
Right. So that is he's sad about that, but it's not. Then Mike is like, anyway, we should go. And he's like, okay, that's pretty much it. So I do think it's funny how serious the tone of the scene is when he's like, all right, let's just go. Now, similarly, in terms of weird, appropriation of Star Trek type shows. Kai in the next scene says to Leo, regulation book doesn't say anything about abandoning ship. And I was like, well, it probably fucking should. That's a bad book.
Yeah.
That's not good. You know who didn't have really escape plans? The Titanic, because they were can't sink, don't need them, don't worry about it.
Yeah, because it's said in a way whereas I have no idea what to do here. I'm just completely. He's sort of in a stunned state of disbelief, and it's really, you had no plans for how to evacuate the station,
right?
At all?
Yeah, that's wild. It's just okay, here's...
That seems here's, like a negligent level of optimism on the designer's part.
Right. Because Kai is the rules and regulations guy, so he would know, and apparently, there's just nothing in there. Leo is I guess they never thought we'd need him, and... There's a little bit of a character moment where Kai is are you still glad you snuck aboard? Because that's how Leo got on the ship. And he's yep, wouldn't miss it for the world, even though we might all die. because I guess at this moment they sort of feel the threat is gone. Because they did blow up or at least severely damage Trakina's ship. So... I guess they sort of think we're good to go now. They all get on the shuttles, and then again, continuing this, I feel episode or two being weirdly kind of dark, because the Power Rangers themselves have been in really bad scrapes, obviously, yeah. before, but Trakina is getting ready to fire on these civilian uh-huh. ships and yeah. just kill everybody.
Yeah, containing the same child who also nearly got crushed by a building.
Right.
Things are just not going well for this kid.
Yes. And she tells Vilmax to fire on the ship, and he looks at this little flower and remembers her saying, thanks, mm-hmm. I knew you would help me. And he's like, no, I can't do it. And then she just laughs at him, uh-huh. which is interesting.
Yeah. He's basically like, look, the Power Rangers are the one who killed your dad. Just fucking fight the Power Rangers. What are you doing?
Yes. Yes. I really appreciated that, actually. Because, like I said last time, I feel like the villain's motivation this season has not been super clear. Yeah, he's like, why do you want to kill these people? There's no reason to do this. Then there is my favorite line delivery of the episode, which is the little girl, who is not a great actress, but is a little girl, is like, "Mommy, oh no." And then the mom, who is an adult and a much worse actress somehow, goes, "Oh no, Trakina." And I was like, oh, we could have tried that a second time.
Yeah.
But yeah, they see out the window that the scorpion stinger is coming.
It does sort of feel like the producers like found a mother and child who were out grocery shopping and were like, "Yes, would you like to earn $25 by saying a few lines on a Power Rangers episode?"
Yeah, totally. So then we cut back into the ship and she tries to tell him to do it again. Mm-hmm. He says no. And they fight for a little bit.
This is where it gets weird, because like Villamax has decided to defy Trakina's orders and save these people. But also he's like, "I'm not going to fight Trakina." He's just going to let her kill him now. And it's... That's weird.
Goes like fully from... "I'm a supervillain." Now, granted, we haven't seen him do like that much bad stuff, but he's working for a supervillain. He knows she's a supervillain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To all the way past, "I'm like going to try and stop her," to "I'm fully like a pacifist."
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden.
Yeah. Truly bizarre. Cause like, what does he think Trakina is going to do? If you're trying to save
this little girl, if you let her kill you, it almost feels now like he's like in love with Trakina and we just never heard about it. And he's just like, his heart is broken that she's evil and he's just going to let her kill him or something.
Yeah. I think because he was her mentor, the idea is it's more of like he's disappointed or like hoping that she'll like snap out of it or something. But instead she really just kicks the shit out of him, and uses her new Deviant handgun to just shoot him a bunch, really. While Kegler, who is his buddy from before this, just watches his friend get murdered, like Stone Cold murdered. It's really dark. Like, I know, again, he's a monster, so we're not supposed to think about it, but he's dead now. And that's a bummer for him. So he also just like vanishes like a force ghost, or Jedi rather. And then Kegler just like cries over his dead. I'm laughing because what the hell? Like, why? And then Trakina is just like, "Okay, well, I'll just do it." And she. Also, this is, I don't know if we've seen it before, but this is the episode I clocked it, where it turns out that the way that you do anything on Trakina's ship is just sort of mash one big button that, I guess it looks like it's a bunch of buttons, but she just sort of pushes one panel and it just does whatever. So she goes to fire on the ship. And then the megaship shows up, shoots a bunch of lasers at it, and the shuttles are able to escape. She immediately goes to ram them, which I mean works basically, right?
She completely destroys the ship. The megaship's very just, quickly. Like,
totally fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. The Rangers get like two shots off and then they just immediately get blown up.
Right. Her ship is a lot bigger than theirs, so I guess it makes sense. But
which you'd assume would mean they would try to like keep their distance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not just be like, "Yeah, I guess we'll just get right next to the ship so it can ram us really easily."
Right. So the cockpit gets totally messed up. like Damon and Leo both like have to put their hands on the controls to try and keep it steady. And then they tell Damon like, oh, we've got to escape. They all go to try and run away. And then we find out that Alpha is stuck in the engine room under some debris. And I honestly thought they might kill Alpha.
Yeah, me too. I was like, wait, did Alpha die?
Yeah, we don't see him anymore after this season, except, you know, special occasions. So I was like, yeah, maybe this is where he just bites it, I guess. No, I guess not.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only reason I figure like, oh no, he's definitely not dead is they would have a more dramatic send off for Alpha.
Right. Like, than just the ship just exploding while he's on it.
Yeah. Though yeah.
I will say the ship's computer, who is a person named Decca, like that, mm-hmm. that they've talked to and has been given a personality. She's super dead. Yeah. She's dead, yeah. And they don't even say anything about it. So,
well,
like,
she's not a recurring character,
right?
She doesn't have a physical presence. So, first of all, the writers don't even remember she exists. So,
I honestly think it's that because she used to be subtitled. It would say like, you know, when someone speaks with subtitle, mm-hmm. it's it like Alpha says blah. It just says woman's voice. So I think they genuinely forgot that it was a character. Leo goes and gets Alpha. The other Rangers have to blast into the little like bay where they keep the, I always forget what their little space go-karts are called, but whatever those things, jet jammer, that sounds like it might be right. They get in there and take off, and Alpha is riding like shotgun on Leo's, which is pretty great. But then when the shot is so funny, when the ship explodes, the mega ship explodes, Alpha just like flies off into space.
Yeah.
And the like shockwave like pushes the rest of the Rangers, I guess, straight to the planet. And but Leo like shoots off to the moon that they were just on. And we see him like crash land. These vehicles are we didn't talk about that much about them. The little spaceships they have that are like go-kart size, they're so silly looking.
Because
they're really just too small.
Yeah.
I know they didn't want to build them like fighter jets, like or like X-wings. That's too much, but they look silly. So then we see a scene of all these shuttles landing and everybody, all these civilians triumphantly.
Yeah, on the planet this moon was orbiting, which turns out was a perfect, you know, second Earth. They land in a nice meadow in a park or something.
Well, they did. They did head towards it specifically. They when they ran out of like gas or whatever, they were like, "Well, this one's close
that's
enough,
right.
It'll work."
Yeah,
yeah. But the coincidence is that this is going to turn out to be Myrinoid, the planet that Maya is from.
Oh my
I don't
God.
Think they talk about that in this episode.
I completely
episode,
forgot
though.
That. This is insane.
I
also like how they didn't even attempt to film in a location that looked at all naturalistic.
No.
Like,
this
is
a park.
Clearly a curated
it's
park.
Clearly the same fucking city park that every outdoor scene on Power Rangers has been shot on.
Yeah, this is 10
not
feet.
The untouched wilds.
No, this is 10 feet to the left of the sandbox that they used to fight putties. Yeah. Like, for sure it is. Uh-huh.
Just
yes.
No effort whatsoever.
But we see Balk and Phenomena celebrating that they made it, and this, I feel like, would have slightly more impact if we'd seen them more than twice this entire season. Also, if Skull was here, would maybe be good,
like
but
the,
whatever.
The target
it's
audience
fine.
For this show was not born last time we saw Balk.
Right.
I'm exaggerating.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, well, maybe last time we covered uh-huh. Balk. But, yeah. So, they... the Rangers find Alpha, who is like stuck headfirst in a bush, which is pretty funny. His little feet are just kicking. You don't see Alpha's feet that much, and but whenever you do, I'm always like, they look like Sora's shoes from Kingdom Hearts, which is very funny to me. But yeah, so Kai realizes that Leo is not there with them, and they're all kind of worried and start looking for him. Kai like calls out for Leo. And we go up to space on the moon, where, again, I will remind you, earlier this episode and last episode, they were like, the dome, oh no.
Yeah.
And Leo is just
out here, yep, out here in a shirt and some slacks, and that's,
yep,
that's it.
Yep. Like, if we had to contrive an explanation for this, it's because he's the a Power moon Ranger. Has and
atmosphere.
That, yeah. I mean,
somehow
the Power Ranger power gives him like space breathing powers even when not morphed. Let's go with that.
Well, but the first scene of this season or like early.
Oh yeah, is, they were on the moon.
They're all on Earth's moon, yeah, like training for their
the one moon in Power Rangers we know for a certain fact has no oxygen on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we see him like calling them on the communicator and nobody's answering. And then we cut over to I did check, by the way, Kegler never shows up again, so I don't know if that guy's dead or what. He just
let himself die over Villamax's corpse, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably just left. It's like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping he just peaced out.
Yeah, yeah. She will probably not care enough to try and find and kill me.
Yeah. You see Trakina's hurt. Like, she's got like a big like slash on her face, which is, more than I feel like they usually do. And she's like stumbling around and she says, you haven't seen the last of me, which is a thing that Power Rangers villains often say. But then they show that she's actually going like towards the cocoon, which I sort of thought you could only use it once, but I guess you could use it multiple times because here's something I completely forgot, and I guess is a spoiler for next time, but I knew this because I've seen it. Trakina has like a full bug monster form, and I guess it only shows up in the last episode of the season because we haven't seen it so far.
Didn't she have?
So,
okay, it's been ages since we started covering this season, but
I feel like she's had a bug like carapace thing at some point. Oh, she had like armor.
Yeah.
She had like a, like some kind of armor that she used once.
It might not be the same thing, but. I thought it would be. Anyway.
She turns into a full bug lady in the next episode.
That's what I would expect from the last boss and the last episode of the season for sure.
But yeah. I guess I'm slightly surprised that it's like only at the very, very end. But hey, there you go. But yeah, so she's going to get one more power up. And then that'll be the last episode is next episode. So, yeah, I think this, as much as I was kind of teasing about like this being a little darker than normal, which it is, I think it does. It is pretty effective at like making you think they're in a pretty bad situation. So,
yeah,
so it does that.
If I was a child, this would be a pretty good cliffhanger.
Yeah, for sure.
The first time you see anything, it's good.
Yeah. So I did ask for questions. Mm-hmm. We got a couple. We also got like 7 tits in bios, and boy, it's just getting better and better over there on the internet, huh?
How are the 7 tits? Rate them.
I'm not going to do that. Thank you. I did. Weirdly, that was the. This one says nude tits in bio, oh, well, which it would be this, weird if it would be weird if they weren't. I mean, I guess.
No, I would. No, I would say like, well, like covered tits are a lot more common than nude ones. Like generally,
right. I guess I mean it would be weird to spam the idea of.
I think it's very nice of this lady to like let you know that what to expect up front
to
like,
specify. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do appreciate that. But I asked. Ask us about villains being redeemed as they die, corruption arcs, inappropriate subjects for children's media, and dual wielding. And we got a couple questions from Jasmine. So I had to look this one up, but she asks, did Ronnie Reagan truly convert to communism on his deathbed? What? I guess this is a rumor. I had never heard it before.
There's
but
no
there
earthly is, way yeah. that happens.
No, it certainly can't be true. But I had never heard that before. It is like a like circulated, I don't know what you call, like an urban legend, I guess. But no fucking way. Like, yeah. That guy did not. Well, like, and also,
if it happened on his deathbed, it doesn't fucking count.
Right. That's yeah. kind of what I was going to say.
Also, like he died in 2004 in like George W. Bush years. Like, why would Reagan go, hey, it's 2004. You know what's hot right now? Communism. I'm going to convert to
right,
that.
Right. Yeah. Sorry.
Go ahead, Zach.
No, it just like kind of going back to what I said earlier about like very fast, like redemption things. Like, I like Star Wars a lot. I think the final, like Return of the Jedi, Darth Vader mm-hmm. doing that is very impactful. But there are people who are like, but also that doesn't redeem him. I'm not gonna argue with you at all. You did.
Yeah, I mean,
like
the moral calculus so, is like hard right. to do. But yeah.
So even if, like Iris said, even if that was true, guess what, dude? Yeah. It doesn't count.
Yeah, like, he didn't even throw Emperor Palpatine like down a
that's,
pit.
That's
like,
the thing.
Right.
Like, he did nothing.
Ronald Reagan didn't, like, George on his deathbed, yeah. call George W. Bush and say, get out of Iraq. Like, that's, you know, maybe
yeah.
then.
If,
right,
if
yeah.
on his deathbed, Ronald Reagan had thrown Mitch McConnell down a pit to yeah, his doom, then I might give him a point. But, yeah, you know,
but I don't think so. I never heard that though. That was at least interesting to read. She also asks, physical corruption via oddly colored kryptonite, mental or spiritual, which one are you defending against when you end up in your favorite piece of media?
Oh God.
So like what kind of, corruption are you going to prevent against? I would like to keep my brain, yeah. I think. The spiritual one is interesting.
It's weird,
I'm not
right?
sure I super believe in like a soul that can be tainted.
I mean,
so
I assume spiritual means it turns you like fundamentally evil. It makes you
sure,
believe different true. Things. So that's nasty as well.
I feel like the physical corruption, it's like, while I could get really hot, like evil hot, that seems to happen a lot.
Yeah, but
I could turn into a bug person.
I don't want to turn into John Carpenter's The Thing as a thing.
No, but at least there's like a chance that that could happen. That's all I'm saying.
I think I'd probably go for like the mental corruption. Because, like, in the moment, yeah, it's going to suck and, like, you're going to be forced to fight your friends. But also, like, it'll be a real good bonding experience afterwards.
Oh, sure. Because,
like, the
yeah,
power
okay.
of friendship will save you.
Yeah.
And then, like, you get to, like, have a moment to be like, damn, we're such good friends. And yeah. then that's the end. And then you're fine.
It feels like the one that's least likely to permanently turn you into, like, an irredeemable monster. Like, because
yeah.
the other two might do that in different ways.
Yeah, yeah. That's a
like
that's a good
you know
point.
Kerrigan from StarCraft.
Yes, she got both.
Right.
Yeah.
Who Trakina totally isn't
yes.
like completely modeled on. Uh-huh. By the way, I know we talked about uh-huh. it, but yeah, I think that's a good answer. Also, this tickled me because I had. Kind of forgotten about the silly kryptonites until I read that. Y'all know about those?
Oh, yeah. It's like Silver Age Kryptonite and the Red Kryptonite.
Yeah.
Fucking rules.
Yeah, and then they were in Smallville, which is where I found out about them, because they had to come up with some Monster of the Week reason for everything to happen.
I love when Superman gets silly with it, is the thing.
Me too. That's why Silver Age is fun.
You should maybe don't like, I know people don't like, often don't like to buy singles of comics, but like you should check out the trade paperbacks of like the latest run of Superman.
Oh,
it's been pretty fun.
Nice.
Oh, cool. That's good. I forgot that there was a Pink Kryptonite joke like way later that I was looking at the list of them just now, and I forgot there's a Pink Kryptonite joke that is a parody of the Silver Age like silly ones, except that it was this joke was made in the mid-90s, so guess what it did? It made Superman gay. Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah.
I imagined that.
Very funny joke.
Yeah.
Yay.
Now we have an actual gay Superman, though, so, you know,
that's true.
It's something.
I
wish his comic was better.
Yeah, that does suck when that happens, huh? And then Jasmine also asks, what is the most impractical dual wield? Which is because I feel like most practical dual wield is a relatively... Yeah, that would not work. 100%.
You could use them as like, what do you call them? You know, kind of vault on them? Like use them as...
Pole vault, totally.
The thing is, I'm almost certain I've seen like a video game character that dual wield spears.
Silts.
Like I'm at some point. Yeah, like
that's really silly.
Also, like if you go like Halo shooter mode, like a sniper rifle and a shotgun together, not very useful.
That's pretty funny. Yes. Yeah. I mean, so I did fence, and like we learned a bunch about like I could be wrong, but like one of the only dual wields that ever actually happened aside from Shield is like I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Mangosh, I think. Mangosh. It's basically a dagger with
Mangosh means left hand in French. That's how you're
Okay. And it's basically a dagger with like a big hilt on it.
It's what Cervantes uses in Soul Calibur. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah, perfect. Yep. So that's the good one. Yep. Spear is a very good answer. Obviously, like I was thinking like two Warhammers would be really stupid and like, not useful.
How jacked you'd even have to be to even like pull that off in the first place or something, you know, but
yeah. Yeah, because spears, you can't even, like, you wouldn't be able to aim them, really. So that would not work. It's funny, like, the shooter thing, I remember, like, being so against when Halo came out and like, kind of changed it the whole game. So, like, all of a sudden, shooters did not allow you to carry 12 weapons at once, which... it really has never come back. I was like, no, why? Like, I hate that. And now I'm like, well, but it's kind of interesting to have to pick. But I also remember like that like kind of being the point at which I was like, I guess it would be silly to have two shotguns at the same time. That doesn't seem like it would be very
good. I mean, Master Chief can do it. Difficult to reload.
Oh, you know what's a really bad dual wield? Two bows. Can't do anything with two bows.
Literally not usable.
Also, I know what I was thinking of. One of the main characters in Sengoku Basara wields two spears.
Nice.
I mean, listen, we can talk just about like, anime weapons.
That's fair. Because
I think on the Turtles and the Turtles in Time, which it's not called that, the Ninja Turtles 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. We were talking about like reverse sword grip also, and how like, no, that's not a thing. I don't think, yes, it looks cool. It's very neat looking, but Yeah. So there you go. That's the questions we've got. Simon, is there anything that you wanted to plug or have people go check out?
Not really. My Twitter is at TheRealSimBen, if you're still on there. I also have a Blue Sky, which I haven't checked in months at this point. I'm sorry, Blue Sky.
I know. I know.
Yeah, that's it. We'll just check that follow out. Me if you still are on Twitter. Don't create a Twitter account just to follow people.
Don't this make point. A new no. one. He'll charge you. Oh yeah, you, apparently.
He's going to do that. It sucks. Yeah, that's it.
Iris, is there anything you'd like to plug?
It's what I'll plug probably every time I'm on here. It's Eidolon
Playtest. Good, people should go.
It's an actual play podcast where we play a game system called Eidolon Become Your Best Self, made by our friends Luke and Molly. Current campaigns are Eidolon Disco and Eidolon Ska, about two sets of mystery-solving teams from the 1980s and from the 2000s. And we are currently in a lot of, like, metatextual shit happening that's really cool. So go ahead, go and check that out. I'm really excited for the next few sets of episodes because we're doing some wild shit over there.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, definitely go check that out if you haven't. For me, you can follow me on Twitter at Chinchy McChilla. And you should come back next week because it's going to be the last episode of Lost Galaxy. And I'm excited to get into we had like two tweets at us that were like, I'm excited for you to get to Lightspeed Rescue because it's so much better. And that's so funny because I don't think that's the like consensus, no. But I'm excited to see what it's like.
Don't know. It's really hard for me because both of them, Lost Galaxy and Lightspeed Rescue, are both like aggressively mid Power Rangers seasons. They're both like real near the middle of the pack.
I think there are some people who say that Lightspeed Rescue is underrated.
I don't think
there are people who are like, it's like the best. It's like in the top,
Lightspeed Rescue does do a few cool things. It's the first one in a while that is just like on Earth and has stars, adults doing a job instead of teens doing whatever, you know?
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. So that's going to do it for us. Come back next time for the last episode, and then we'll move on to the next thing. For Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Zach.
I've been Simo.
And I've been Iris.
And may the power protect you always. Yay! We did it!